Good morning, 639 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay at Pensacola Morning News. Wes Moreno is the county administrator for Escambia County. We've got a board meeting today, a weird one on a Tuesday, and a morning meeting, so there's no, like, agenda in the morning and then afternoon meeting. It's actually this morning. Wes Moreno, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here, as always.
Great to have you. Let's start with a couple of things that are on the agenda this morning that I think are pretty interesting that other people have expressed interest in, for sure. The superintendent ballot initiative is not on the agenda, per se. It's just to schedule the discussion or the hearing for October 16th, as I read it. Correct me if I'm wrong. But how much latitude does the board have to change the date to the primary, or from the primary date to the general election? Is that completely at the board discretion, or are they obligated because of what the school board requested?
It is a board discretion, but I think what you'll see our board, and what our board has always tried to do with the school board, is work hand in hand, and we try to follow the lead of school board, school district, and I think that's what you'll see the board do with this particular item.
Okay. All right. Well, I would encourage them to use their discretion to fix a mistake that the school board is making, but I understand that's not your choice. That's their choice to make. But I wanted to make sure they do have the power to change it if they want to, which is – that confirms that. Fine. Second thing, the Turning Point USA Road in memory of Charlie Kirk to go on – I said before the backside, but it's really the front side of Escambia High School. Escambia High School didn't really have a front side. Anyway – people have raised the question of other names. The the Minneapolis legislator who was killed for being a Democrat, as well as several others. H.K. Matthews, somebody from Pensacola. There's all kinds of alternatives. I know, again, you're the administrator. It's not your item. I maybe should be talking to Mike Kohler about this. But it seems very reactionary, especially for a school that's had the history of racial tension that has had at Escambia High. Can you maybe, I don't know, is this just Mike is bringing this item and you guys are going to talk about it? It just seems like I'd like to have more of an organized approach to how we're going to name things and who we're going to honor, and a real, a panel, honestly, to talk about, hey, these are people we'd like to rename roads for, and let's go through a process. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. And, Commissioner Culler's bringing this morning, but I would say my understanding is he's been working hand in hand with Representative Fetzko from the school board, school mm-hmm. district, and this is kind of a joint thing between both of them. I think the initiative is good as far as the intent is to try to bring some, people, ironically, bring people together, a little more tolerance when it comes to these types of things that happen in the community and happen in our nation. And I think his heart is in the right place. I think certainly I've spoken with him numerous times about it, and I know what his intent is, and it's certainly not to be divisive at all. It is actually to help, and his initiative would be to help bring people together for more tolerance and be a little more understanding of other people's views and those sorts of things. But it is an initiative that he and then Paul Fetzko put together.
Okay. I mean, off the top of my head, I'm thinking more of maybe call it Freedom of Speech Road or First Amendment Road or, Civil Discourse Road. I know what he's trying to do. I know Mike's heart. And I don't think people have accused him of trying to be political with this. I actually don't think that's what's going on here. I just don't know that it's the most effective way to accomplish what he's trying to accomplish. And again, I know it's his issue and you don't get to vote on this. So, maybe I'm talking to the wrong person. The Divine Farms Road, somebody asked me about this and I didn't know the answer. Divine Farms Road, the bridge is been under construction. I thought it had been finished, and this is the one, there's the borrow pit back there. There's the giant new subdivision back there. Of course, a lot of concerns about the width and the safety of Divine Farms Road for people who live more towards the previously developed part. Is the bridge not done yet? I thought it was done. But you tell me.
I don't think the project is completed yet. We had some issues with utility relocation and some redesign around some current utilities that couldn't be relocated. And that took quite a bit of time and effort and working with some outside agencies and outside partners that are impacted by the project. So I don't know that it's quite done yet. And honestly, I don't know the exact time frame for the completion of it. But I do know we did have some delay in the redesign and the relocation and some adjustments that needed to be made there at the bridge as far as the approaches and the alignment.
Okay. And also a worthwhile reminder that bridges are very expensive. They take a long time, and they involve a lot
expensive.
Of moving
Even
parts.
A little one's expensive.
Yeah, they're. I mean, you know, I live in a subdivision that goes over a county bridge, a little one, and I'm like, oh, I feel you. I know. They
yeah,
know. Another issue that I thought was going to be on the agenda was the Baptist Hospital because it got pushed from the last meeting. But I didn't see it on the agenda, but you and I talked right before the meeting, and there is an element that is on there that's related to this, right?
Yeah, there is. The revitalization of the area around the legendary campus there. Mainly, you know, Commissioner May has a heart for that area and has been driving hard for health care and dental and food services there in that area. And so what they're going to talk about this morning is a donation of a number of a dollar amount. And in conjunction, maybe Baptist will donate a building or buildings or commit to providing health care or dental or food services there. It'll be a robust discussion, I'm sure. But we'll see how it turns out.
Other discussions have been very quick and very easy, and everybody was on board. I mean, I don't know why you'd think it'd be controversy. So,
I don't know either.
Nothing except your, you know, your 50-ish years of life and all your time as the county administrator. You know, nothing except what experience. There's a big issue I want to get to as the last one. But before we get there, what's with the wild hogs and the code enforcement and all this? What's this all about?
I'm not sure, honestly. I hadn't heard this one. Oh. I know we don't typically deal in wild hogs.
I thought there was there was a county thing with maybe I'm the dumb one. I thought there was a thing. It's been a story. The code enforcement and wild hogs. Maybe I'm inventing it.
Maybe
I don't know.
Somebody has some wild hogs maybe the area is not zoned for them to have hogs. It shouldn't. Wild hogs are kind of they're not. I don't think anybody's supposed to have wild hogs to begin with.
Right.
They tend to be more of a nuisance. Animal control, it's really not our avenue, really not our lane usually, but sometimes we do get caught up in it.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, and it's a big topic. I know we don't have really enough time to figure it out, but this whole business of ECAT, the in-house operators for the large buses, the contract with ITL for paratransit, and, of course, the new thing that you and I have talked about many times, which is the flex transit. Let's just start with this. Your proposal is to bring everything in-house to get rid of paratransit as it currently operates from ITL and instead to try to save money and do it better by operating it in-house. Is that right?
Well, that is a portion of the proposal, but there's a driving factor beyond that, and the driving factor like I said the other night at the meeting, the service that ITL has been providing is not a bad service. It's really not. But there is a contractual element to where they're responsible to pay for their fuel. And I don't know, somehow or another, they've not been paying for it. It came to light in the last however many months. So my goal was to push the issue, make it to where we get compensated for the fuel. They're even, they're level, everybody's cool, and then maybe re-solicit and re-procure. It's not so much the service that the other night. It really was just a contractual issue. Now, since then, there's been many conversations, as recent as yesterday morning, that I met with a representative from ITL. I think we're on a good path. I think we're going to be able to straighten things out and get them where they need to be, and then we'll be able to move forward. And there's some other things, too, not related to ITL. I mean, you know, we have this service that we provide, and they want us to provide it 24/7 almost. I mean, we're running to Century to the Alabama-Florida line to pick up one person at 2:00 in the morning. I mean, that's just not cost beneficial. So we'll work through some of those things with some of those outside agencies and see if we can streamline the services and make it a little better.
What was the dollar amount on the gas? Because, when I heard it, I was stunned. But I don't want to make up a number because
I think right now it's sitting at 400 and something thousand, close to 500,000.
So they're supposed to pay for their gas, but they wound up getting given the gas, and it was worth in total over the time about $400,000 from the county.
That's correct.
Wow. I mean, that's a It's a flabbergasting number. The other part of this that I thought was really, I don't know, that caught my attention. It's, if I remember correctly, it was a single trip one way for one person by paratransit is $45 in cost, not to the user. The user still pays the regular, what is it, $250 for a trip? But the actual right. cost of providing the service is $40. So a round trip costs the taxpayer in some form or another $90. Is that right?
That is correct.
That's...
Which is why another reason we're moving to utilize Flex Transit as much as possible.
Yeah, because what does Flex Transit cost for the same trip? More like, what, 30 or something?
It's about $33.
So about a third the cost. And a lot of the the people who had been maybe previously before Flex Transit existed were using paratransit. Many of those people are now opting for Flex Transit, which is part of the issue with ITL is they feel like Flex Transit's competing against their service, right? But, you know, from a cost perspective, I would much rather have the cost be a $33 trip than a $90 trip for something providing people who are disabled, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's like I said, it's a work in progress. We're meeting continually, and there's a lot of elements to it. And we'll work through each element as we get to it. And I think when we get to the end, you'll see an efficient service with it, not only just in the service itself, but in the cost as well.
A couple of other things just on this topic, because I think it's actually really important. One just has to do with the operation of the Flex Transit itself. I've seen people complain about the website being down or the inability to book, and they do have to book in advance, like a day in advance, and it's always a first come, first serve basis. But if you know you're going to need to go to work or go to the store, that's the premise, right? But it has had some like technical problems lately. Is that right?
There's been a few glitches with the app. There has been, yes.
Okay, and I mean, anything you can tell us about how that's being resolved or what's, you know, how it's working?
We're working with the provider and the app provider and that designer, and we're working through them.
Okay, all right, so it is getting better. And you have on the agenda today a contract ratification, I think, with the ECAT union. Have you figured out the issue of, like, I mean, if ITL goes away, are those folks going to come in-house? How is the union, non-union question, flex drivers, all, you know, how all of that?
If that happens, some of them will come in-house, yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so that's part of the union contract. And what's on the agenda today as far as the contract is just them ratifying the 3% pay adjustment.
Got it. Okay. Anything else on the – I mean, I looked over it up, but, you know, sometimes you see things, or obviously the administrator, you know things. I don't know. Anything on there that you think people would be particularly interested in knowing about? Good news, bad news, whatever the case may be?
Well, I don't know about it. Some of it's not on the agenda, but one of them is a fishing bridge. There's a big thing that we're awarding today. The construction of that is $21.5 million.
The rebuilding of the fishing pier that got damaged in Sally, which is, by the way, 5 years today, which is crazy.
Yep. But okay. Absolutely. The Gateway project going on in Pensacola Beach, we're getting ready to put that out and procure the actual construction. The design is at 100%, and so we're fixing to procure that construction. I'm hoping to have that award for construction to the board by November. And then also the fire station's designs, procurements are opening up now. And then Myrtle Grove and for Paradise Beach, and then for Kingsfield, we're procuring the CEI. So all that's moving forward and driving forward. A lot of good things moving forward. A lot of work being done there behind the scenes, and a lot of good outcomes headed our way.
I can only imagine how many people listening when you said that we're actually going to take the first big step on the fishing pier rebuild are like, yay, hallelujah, finally. So that's very good news. And, of course, the people who have to pay their ridiculous home insurance rates over by Paradise Beach, I'm sure they're celebrating that, too, because that's been a long time coming. Very good. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Thank you for adding the good news and the other things that the county is doing. It's so important. And we look forward to the meeting this morning. Always, thank you for the time, sir.
All right. Appreciate it.